best friends, the best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way.
Amen. God bless you this morning, everyone. It's the 13th, August the 13th, and we wish you God's richest blessing. We are striving to encourage everyone who is going to attend the school before we move forward to go ahead and register. You can go to creatorsrx.com, which is affiliate ministry that's coordinating this. Or if you don't remember that, just go to torso.com. torso.org, and then click the register button, and it'll take you over there. You need to register and fill out the survey. That includes everyone that's going to be taking the class. If you haven't, and everything will be explained. So if you have any questions, contact me. But at this time, we'll ask my wife if she would have our opening prayer at this time. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to be able to come together to open up your word and to worship you on this day. We ask that your spirit will guide us as we ask for the anointing to be granted to our pastor and for you to fill him with your spirit. Help us, Lord, always to grow in grace and wisdom. This is prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time.
Amen. We're talking today about entering into God's rest. Entering into God's rest, this is a good subject. It's Hebrews 4. We're studying the sanctuary, and it's important that we understand who our high priest is and what he did for us. And once we get that foundation, we'll understand more about what's in the Old Testament as we see an Ark of a Covenant and a table of showbread and golden candlesticks and altar of incense and the brazen altar and the laver full of water. So all of that's important, but let's understand what it symbolizes or what some of the things symbolize. So that's why we're talking about Hebrews, because it brings out the sanctuary in heaven, my friend. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We ask that you will bless us as we open the word in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, a lot of people think that what really, if I can use the term Seventh-day Adventist, because unfortunately that term has been linked only to an organization, but it was a movement. Those who keep all the commandments and who are preparing for Jesus to come, whether you like it or not, that's all Seventh-day Adventist means. That's what it means. So you might be a Seventh-day Adventist and not know it. If you're preparing for Jesus to come, trying to get cooperating with God to have your life in order with God's order, that's what Advent meant. Advent means coming. So you're preparing, and we recognize that the great test that will come to the world will be upon the test that points to God as the creator. That's what the Sabbath is all about. It points to God as the creator, because if he's the creator, if you really recognize that he was the creator, we would not have the LGBT. You know, it was so amazing. I was just sharing with my wife, doing some just study for the textbook. And I think I went to the Cleveland Clinic website, and it was talking about, because I was getting some information on male and female reproductive organs because of something we were putting and adding to the textbook. And they came up with this phrase. It was describing the female organs, and it basically said that these organs are in women and in those who, I forgot, it was AFAB, and it, I think it stood for those who were assigned female at birth, okay? Do you realize, I mean, think, brothers and sisters, think, put your mind, think. So those who is female organs are either women or those assigned female at birth. You see, when you know that there is a creator, you wouldn't have all this stupidity. That's stupid. It really is. Now, I didn't call anybody a name. I'm saying that concept is stupid. Assigned female at birth. That means that they have accepted the push that has been put in the world, just like in the days of Sodom. We will force homosexuality on this society. The Bible tells us, as in the days of Lot, that's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. So friends, you know, I was talking to somebody, and that individual said, I was talking to the person, and we were discussing, the person is about 77, and I was trying to tell him what he needed to do to get some better health. And he said, yeah, but, you know, I want to see what, you know, there was, you know, how you sometimes feel like your body's just falling apart. He said, I want to see what you get, how you are at 77, what you're like at 77. And I said, brother, I don't believe I would have the conditions that you have because I eat different. However, and that's not pride. It just, I don't eat the way you eat or ate, because he's doing better now. But I will say this. I don't believe I'll be around in that would give me 22 years. This world's not going to last 22 years, brothers and sisters. we're in the toenails of time. Jesus is coming very soon. The changes or the perversion of the Constitution is proof of that fact. You see, in order for there to be a nation that the Bible calls the United States or refers to as the United States to speak and cause that as many as would not worship the first beast should be killed, that means the United States is going to make an act. See, if you can be killed if you don't do it, that has to be a law. Okay, so the United States is going to make a law, and they will cause all the people to worship the first beast, it said. But in that worshiping of the first beast, it said they would receive a mark. So how are you going to worship the first beast of Revelation 13? Have a law, speak and cause that it would, all that would not do it would be killed. That means it's a law, okay? And it's included in that you have a mark of the beast. Well, the Roman Catholic Church says Sunday is our mark of authority. So brothers and sisters, what God is telling us in the Bible is that when we worship on Sunday, we're worshiping the first beast. That's what the Bible's saying. And but, you know, God is merciful and he takes time. He recognizes that it takes time for the stuff to come off of our eyes. But I'm bringing this up because you're not going to be able to say, I didn't tell you what the final test for the world was going to be, because I did tell you. And I've shown you, and we can show you more. But the point being made, the Catholic Church says Sunday is our mark. But here's my point. My point is that in order for that to happen in America, in the land of the free and the home of the brave, you know, our country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty of thee, I think. God blessed America because America was the land of the free. Now, they were hypocrites because they had slaves, so they wanted to use the slave labor as a way to build themselves up economically. But the Constitution, what they did in their private writings, we have those writings now. They said we have to consider people of African descent as three-quarters of men and women. That way we don't have to give them the rights of the Constitution. That's how they twisted that in their mind so they could, you know, in law seem like it was okay. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, which is horrible, and God, trust me, God deals with people, brothers and sisters. God deals with people, and people do reap what they sow. And some of us can tell you because we know people who have hurt us. The greatest trial of my life, brothers and sisters, there were about three or four people that were in that trial trying to hurt me, and they're not doing well today. And so what am I telling you? I am telling you that the United States of America would have to make every tenet of the Constitution repugnant, because the Constitution would prohibit a national Sunday law, because we're prohibited in the First Amendment from establishing a religion. We can't put the Catholic Church above the Baptist Church. Can't put the Baptist Church above the Adventist Church. Can't put the Adventist Church above the Methodist Church. It must allow everybody, as long as you're not hurting anybody. God doesn't allow the Church of Satan to do human sacrifices. But the Church of Satan can exist. They have constitutional protection. If you want to worship a dog, if you want to worship a cat, if you want to worship the devil himself, the Church of Satan is a 501c3. They get tax-deductible privileges, brothers and sisters, because in America, you can't establish one over another. Now, they can't do human sacrifices legally. I'm saying they don't do them, but they have to do them in the dark, okay? The Ku Klux Klan, that's a religious organization, but it does not, Constitution doesn't allow them to be lynching people, you know? But if they want to put a white thing on their forehead, I mean, a hood, to hide their identity so nobody knows who the crooks they are, if that's what they want to do, you know, you read some of their material. They have religious services, brothers and sisters. So my point is, the Constitution would have to be totally perverted in order for the things to happen in Revelation. So who are the two major parties in the United States? The Democratic Party, the Republican Party. Well, look at just most recent history. In our lifetime, when the Capitol was attacked at the insurrection, what did the people say? They said, our president has sent us here because we must protect and save our country, and we are protecting our Constitution. So they basically did that on the foundation of protecting the Constitution. That was a perversion of the Constitution. What did we say? In order for a Sunday law to come, we have to pervert the Constitution. So people are totally confused about what the Constitution protects. Okay? Now let's go to the other side. I did not and do not support the movement called Black Lives Matter. Now, and I do it heavenly way because all lives matter. Heavenly, yeah, Black Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter, Latino Lives Matter, Caucasian Lives Matter, all lives matter with God, friends. But the Black Lives Matter movement was set up to promote homosexuality, brothers and sisters. It was created by lesbians who were avowed Marxists. Okay, and they raised millions of dollars, and very little, if any, of that money went to help the Black community. When you look at their receipts, because they're 501c3 registered, you can go and see what they spent their money on, and they spent their money on gay and lesbian promotional material and activities, brothers and sisters. And that's why you have a lot of them that were supportive of Black Lives Matter, because as soon as they got the world all hyped up, Black Lives Matter, then they were able to say, and gay lives matter, and gay lives matter. And they connected the two movements, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you that that movement perverts the Constitution. You do not have a constitutional right to force on the world your desire to sleep and pervert sexually God's plan. That's not a constitutional right, my friends. So that means the Supreme Court is confused. The state legislatures, confused. Governors, confused. Wouldn't these have to be the ones to be confused if we're going to take America, and America's going down, brothers and sisters. It's going down. National apostasy precedes national ruin, and they are apostatizing as we speak regarding what the Constitution really protects, what it doesn't. And so by the time this world gets more pandemics, scaring people to death, more weather patterns, scaring people to death, with all the disasters, scaring people to death, with all the crime increasing and the shooting scaring people to death, eventually it's going to get so bad that people are going to say, what are we going to do? And the Pope is going to be right there to say, we need to come back to God. How are we going to do that? We need to worship together, and that's on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Friends, it will be a lie. The Lord's Day is Sabbath. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. The Lord's Day is Sabbath, not Sunday. But I'm here to tell you the Constitution must be perverted first in order for these things to take place. You are living in a time where I can declare to you, I don't believe. I'm not a prophet. I don't believe I'm going to live to be 77, friends. So that's why it's important for us to get our lives together right now, to get our health together right now, to surrender to God right now, to surrender fully to God right now, to go and learn and be taught the truth and the truth only right now. Tomorrow is not promised to you, brothers and sisters, and that's why we're studying this. So that was an introduction. Here is our message. Let us therefore fear, Hebrews 4:1, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Now, this is powerful. You see, people have been lying to you. They've been telling you that they had the old covenant back then, and we have the new covenant now. Now, that's true, it's not true, because they had the new covenant back then if they would only believe. See, and this is what's going to prove it, the next verse. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when they heard it, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do in our own strength. They started an old covenant. They started a different covenant. The new covenant was the same one. If you go to Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 2, God said he saw the groaning of the children of Israel as they were being beaten up in Egypt. And he said, I remembered the covenant that I gave with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go to the New Testament in Galatians. You will read that that covenant said Abraham believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The new covenant is the one that God gave to Abraham, brothers and sisters. It's the only one God wanted. They created another one based on faulty promises we're going to read later in Hebrews. And therefore, and it got ratified in Exodus 24. We read it. As soon as they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do and be obedient. An animal was killed. And the Bible says the blood of the covenant was spoken, was spilled. And so that was the blood of that covenant. But the blood of Jesus would have to ratify the new covenant. That's the only reason why it's called new. It's not called new because it started in Matthew. It's not called new because it started in Matthew. The gospel was preached unto us as unto them. It did not have fruit because they wouldn't believe, brothers and sisters. And some of you won't believe. Let me tell you what you won't believe. Yeah, you like to believe in all the hardening part of the gospel, okay? We've sinned and come short of the glory, so we want that pardon, and that is important for where would we be without Jesus. But you know something? The gospel promises power. It promises power to obey, everything God says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Some of you all might have missed. If you go to torwm.org, torwm.org. One more time, torwm.org. The sermon from yesterday is posted, okay? It'll say Prophet 401. There was 400 prophets during the time of Ahab that prophesied smooth things, telling Ahab when he go to war against Samaria, against Syria, he was going to win. And then there was Prophet 401 that came and told him the truth. He said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the face of the earth. He let Ahab know, if you go, you're going to die. Ahab put him in jail. And he said, I'm going to put this man in jail until I come back in triumph, and I'm gonna embarrass him. And he said, if you come back in triumph, then God has not spoken to me, because he understood that God had spoken to him, and that was Micaiah, Prophet 401. You see, it's not always popular, brothers and sisters, to tell the truth. But you know what? You're not going to come back to me. The Ahab could have, if he had survived, and anybody who survived could have gone back to those prophets and said, you guys lied. You're not going to come to me. I'm not a prophet, but I tell the truth by the grace of God, because it is important that you see the truth, but the truth in the love of Jesus. That's what's wrong with a lot of people. They like to teach the truth, but they don't bring it out in the love of Jesus. My friends, Jesus has died to save us from sin. Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. That's what sin is, transgressing the law. Well, what's in the law? All the commandments, including the Sabbath, is in the Ten Commandments, my friends. So the gospel is given to us, okay, to save us from lawbreaking. That's what the gospel is. It's the power, it's the forgiveness of past lawbreaking and the empowerment of present lawkeeping. That's what the gospel is. So when we're not obedient, we have rejected the gospel. That's why a lot of people aren't going to be saved. So all this once saved, always saved. That's not in the Bible, friend. It's not in the Bible. A lot of Christians believe that. Oh, I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. What you going to tell me? And you're not saved, you're not sanctified, and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something. Being filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean your body moves. Doesn't mean your hands wave. Anybody can wave their hands and then go outside and talk about somebody behind their back. Anybody can speak in gibberish and then go out and gossip about somebody. Friends, that does not change the heart, okay? The speaking in tongues, by the way, was languages, okay? That's what the Bible says in Acts 1, and if it was that in Acts 2, that's the same gift in 1 Corinthians 14. We don't have time to go there, but I will tell you this. One of the most misunderstood verses is verses 14 and 15. In those verses, Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Then people miss that. He said, I don't pray that way. I pray with my understanding. Okay? So because he says if he prays in an unknown tongue, they say, okay, we're going to pray in the spirit. It didn't tell you to do that. It said if he was to pray and didn't understand what he said, what is, he's like saying, what is that? He even says in the verse, what is it? He said, I pray with my understanding and so on and so forth. So he understood everything he prayed, brothers and sisters. And so there's so much. The Bible is so weaved into a fabric of truth that that's why we're touching on Sabbath. We're touching on the sanctuary in heaven, because all of it's weaved together. All right. So this verse is about powerful. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it was an old covenant or versus a new covenant. They hadn't gotten the new covenant yet. No, it's because they didn't mix it with faith. That means they had a separate way. So God didn't save them differently, and then now he saves us differently now. That is a lie. There's only one way to salvation, according to Acts 4:12. It's through Jesus Christ. That means Christ was preached back then. We're going to read about it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So when you enter into this rest, that means you have faith. You believe everything God has said, including what he will do through you, which is be obedient. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Tell me, how in the world did that say the Sabbath was done away with? You know, that people read this and they say, okay, the Sabbath was just a point to we should go into God's rest. No, that's not. The Sabbath was given at creation. And in the commandment, it says why it's kept. Because in creation, God created the earth in 6 days. This is just using it as an analogy that God entered into rest by completing the work of creation as an example to an analogy. We should not be living by our own works. We should rest in Christ's power. That doesn't mean we don't work. It means the faith without works is dead, according to James chapter 2, brothers and sisters. So you have to put the whole Bible together. It just means you can have righteousness by works, and that will never save you. That's what the Jews did. Righteousness by works. And then because it was righteousness by works, when they didn't feel righteous enough, they came up with their own traditions in the Talmud. That's not even in the Bible. That's why Jesus had a problem with them and they had problems with him, because he would not obey the stuff they were putting in the Talmud, because it wasn't in the scriptures. It was man-made. And we're doing the same thing. Why are you worshiping on Sunday? That's man-made. It's a man-made requirement, brothers and sisters. Why are you calling your funerals homegoing? That's man-made. They don't go home. They rest in the grave until the resurrection, brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible says. It's not in the Bible. We should not teach as a doctrine the commandments of men. When people say that Sunday is the day of worship because it's the Lord's day, that is teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. It was changed by the Roman Catholic Church, brothers and sisters. And God wants a people that all worship him together. Let me read something to you, friends. We're going to go to Isaiah 66. Let me tell you what you're going to do in heaven, okay? Isaiah 66. How many want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. I can't see your hand, but raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. All right, praise God. I know some hands were raised. And as we go, I think it's the... Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, that's every month, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Now, I just showed you that the Bible said when we get to heaven, we're not going to have Sunday worship. We're going to have Sabbath worship from Sabbath to Sabbath. We're going to come in heaven and worship before the Lord. So, friends, if we started worshiping Adam and Eve on the Sabbath because they met with God, because that was a special time to have a date with God, and they didn't go and repeat it the next day, that 6 days shalt thou labor. God was on their mind. God was on their heart. They had family worship, I'm sure. But to have a special day set aside, they didn't do that. And the Bible said in the end, when we get to heaven, when all sin is over with, every Sabbath, all of his people are going to come together. Why are we doing something different now, brothers and sisters? Where did that come from? It came from Rome, my brothers and sisters. And so God is preparing us for heaven. And in heaven, we're all going to worship together. So we should all be worshiping together today. Not on today as in Sunday, but I mean today as in the time we're living in now. We should all be worshiping together, and then we can be helping each other with our daily tasks and different things that we do on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, get ready for the Sabbath on Friday, and we all do the same thing. God says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He wants his people to be unified, brothers and sisters, and we have a disunified Christianity because some are striving to follow all the commandments of God, but the vast majority are not. And that's why God is calling us, because it's going to be a test. Oh, brothers and sisters, I highly recommend that you read and look at Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12, because a lot of us think, okay, when that time comes, then I'll go ahead and I'll make a change when that time comes. The Bible says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? In other words, when it's easier, if we're not where we ought to be, what do you think you're going to do when it gets harder? And if in the land of peace, I'm sorry, and if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Oh, my brothers and sisters, now is the appointed time. God wants his people to be unified now. He wants us to give an example to others now. We need to consider our example when we do what we do, when we dress the way we dress, when we eat the way we eat. What example are you giving to young people? Somebody might be lost because they see you dressing a certain way. And they say, oh, that's mother so-and-so, or that's brother so-and-so, or that's sister so-and-so. They're a nice person. They're a good Christian. So if it's all right for them to dress that way, it's all right for me to dress that way. That you might even be saved down the line, and that person could be lost because they followed your example. What example are you giving to the young people when you go to church on a day that God has not ordained, brothers and sisters? What example are you giving? Oh, that's mother so-and-so, that's brother so-and-so, that's pastor so-and-so, that's deacon so-and-so. He's a good person. If he does this, surely, because that's human nature. That's how people think. But when you take a stand and you say, listen, I've got to follow the Lord, and I want to do what we're going to do in heaven, and if I would, I'd like you to show me, ask the pastor, show me from the word of God where this day was changed. If he could not, and it was very clear that they worshiped God on the Sabbath, and we're going to do it in heaven, then I think that should be evidence as to what you should do, brothers and sisters. Then when they say, where's sister so-and-so? Where's brother so-and-so? Where's mother so-and-so? Where's elder so-and-so? I'm going to call them. Well, then you have an opportunity to witness. Well, you know, the Lord says that we should worship on the Sabbath day. Oh, sister so-and-so, you sure about that? You know, you got scripture for that? Yes, I do. And you share that scripture, you see, with them, and you've now given the Holy Ghost an opportunity to reach somebody with the truth. You see, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. That's John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he shall guide you into all truth. And so, but he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word is what all we can do. I can't change your heart, brothers and sisters. I am just sharing the word. And when I share the word with you, what you do with that word is between you and God. I'm not to coerce you and try to force you and try to, you know, manipulate you in any way, shape, or form. You are my brother. You are my sister. You are people that we love with all our hearts. All of you out there on Facebook, okay? We love you, but I've got to tell you the truth. Okay, because you're not going to come back to me. See, the Bible speaks in Rome, in Revelation 18 about ministers who didn't tell the truth, and the people came back on them and said, why didn't you tell us the truth? There's going to be many a minister that I don't want that to happen to me in that day. See, when you understand that you are called by God to teach the truth and preach the truth, people like the status, if you want to call it, of being a pastor and preacher or whatever, and they don't recognize the responsibility it is to tell the truth under all circumstances. Now, we can do it with grace, with appropriateness and all of that, but brothers and sisters, you've got to tell the truth, and the truth is not popular. All right, let's go back to Hebrews and wrap this up, okay? We're going to go back to Hebrews. We're talking about entering into that rest. And then it says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying today in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That wasn't saying that God was changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. He's limiting a day, meaning don't wait till tomorrow. Almost persuaded Christ to receive, the song says. Almost persuaded Christ to believe. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on the outcall. You see, Paul had two interactions with Roman leaders, and two songs have been made from that. Almost Persuaded came from the one where, I forgot which one it was, one was Titus, Festus or something, but he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost Persuaded, come today. Almost Persuaded, turn not away. Angels invite you here. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. I forgot the actual phrase, but it says, oh, wanderer, come. Then the last verse says, almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost is but to fail. Almost cannot avail. Sad, sad, the bitter well. Almost, but lost. So, brothers and sisters, we don't want to be almost saved. We want to be saved. Amen. It says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he have not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. In other words, he is saying, if their method of salvation worked for them, then why is he still calling for us to give our hearts to him? Okay? It's that method of salvation did not work. This was not a statement that said the Sabbath was changed, brothers and sisters. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And look at verse 12. Because this is going to prove to you that God didn't change the Sabbath with this chapter. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So he's exalting the word. If this was the case, you would see in the word, I have changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. No, he never said that. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Friends, when you study God's word, he will show you the condition of your heart. He will show you why you're so scared to do this and scared to do that. It's a lack of faith, brothers and sisters, but the word is clear. And so it creates a uncomfortableness because there's things we have to give up. That's just what it is. It does that in all of us. This is not just for you who might be feeling uncomfortable. The word makes all of us uncomfortable because the word is the standard of righteousness. It tells us the standard of righteousness. So when Shalom Fleming isn't yet that standard, there's uncomfortableness. But when I surrender to God, I have peace and that discomfort goes away. And I say, yes, Lord, I'll give that up to you because of all that you gave up for me. You see, that's how it works, brothers and sisters. And so the word is a sword. That's why it's called a sword. But a sword can both be a surgical instrument. I mean, it can pierce, but it can pierce to heal as well. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. See, there we have it. We have a high priest that is passed into the heavens. Now you know why we went to Hebrews before we started back in Exodus again. Because we've got to understand that Jesus is our great high priest. Therefore, when you see the high priest in the Old Testament, he is a symbol of Christ. Aaron was a symbol of Christ. Moses was actually as well. But the point is that we have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you see what the high priest did, especially in the Day of Atonement, he represented the people and he placed his blood as merits for our fallen sin. But he then did a work of judgment. Judgment, that's negative. That's legalism. Why don't they call it legalism at Christmas time when they sing, you better watch out, you better not cry? And listen to the words. These are demanding words. You better not. You better watch out. They don't sing it in a negative sense. It's all positive. Oh, you better not, you better not. You know what I'm saying? It's all happy. And that is legalistic judgment from Satan. Santa is nothing but Satan. It's the same word. They just twisted the word. It's S-A-T-A-N, S-A-N-T-A. Did you hear that? S-A-T-A-N, S-A-N-T-A. Satan became Santa. Okay? That's all it is. It was a perversion of the truth, brothers and sisters. And Santa does an investigative judgment. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus, it says, is coming to town. Listen to this. He's taking a list. No, he's making a list and checking it twice to see whether you've been naughty or nice. God doesn't have to check his list twice. When he comes to our name, he's basically looking at the trend of our lives to say, is this person appreciative of the gospel that I have done for them? That's all the gospel, that's all the judgment is. We are in a judgment right now, okay? It started in 1844. We don't have time to prove that to you right now, but it's in the scripture, if you want to study it, is in Daniel 8:14. It says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That's talking about the sanctuary in heaven. That's where the record of all the sins went, brothers and sisters, okay? But the Bible says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That means he's keeping records of everything we've done, and he's going to see whether or not we've repented of them and have we accepted his salvation and his victory. That's called an investigative judgment. That's why once saved, always saved is not in the Bible, because once saved, always saved would do away with this investigating judgment that God promised he would do. He said he would bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It is not legalism for God to do that. He has to make sure. There's somebody on our call from I'm going to do my roll call real quick. There's somebody that God has promised from Ohio, and somebody that God has made a promise to in Pennsylvania, and somebody God has made a promise to in Maryland, and somebody and somebody and somebody and somebody's that God has made promises to in Delaware. He's made a promise to somebody else in Ohio and made a promise to somebody else in Georgia. And he's made a promise, as we look at Facebook, to somebody in Indiana and somebody else in South Carolina, and he's made a promise to somebody in the country of Greece, and he's made a promise to your servants here in Pennsylvania as well. What was that promise? The Bible says iniquity shall not rise again the second time. Well, God does not make robots. He does not make robots. And so he's going to have people that love and serve him, not out of fear, but out of love. But he has to check out our lives to see if we are faithful. Because he's not going to change and make us robots. That means it could be possible that we could start a rebellion again. But those of us who are so sick and tired of this sinful world, that we appreciate the love that God has for us and how he died on Calvary's cross for us, and we don't want a new heaven and a new earth that brings in shootings and catastrophes and weather disasters. And we want those streets of gold and where there is no more death, neither sorrow, crying, neither shall there be any more pain. We want that more than life itself, to see Jesus again, brothers and sisters. And so it's only as we prove faithful to him on this earth that he will be able to stamp his approval on our lives. Because if we can't follow him on this earth, we would start the rebellion again in heaven. And he's made too many promises to too many people that it's not going to happen again. If we can get through this life, if we can make it through this wicked world, it's not going to happen again. So I want him to check you out, and you want him to check me out to make sure. You don't know. I could be doing anything in my closet when I'm not preaching to you. I could be on the side watching a little pornography, and I could be slipping and sliding and leaving the house and going to see a girlfriend or whatever. You know, I could be taking some money and investing in a gang and just say, hey, you know, when you guys sell the drugs, bring the church back some profit. You don't know what I'm doing when you can't watch me, brothers and sisters. You don't know, but God knows. He sees everything. He sees what I do when I close my eyes. He knows what I'm thinking in my own heart. He knows all the deep things that I go through and what I've contemplated, brothers and sisters. And if it's righteousness, he can put the stamp of approval on it. But if it's not, he's going to convict me and make me uncomfortable. And then when I surrender, then I have peace. And if I don't surrender and I keep in rebellion against him, life's not going to be good for me, brothers and sisters. And so I'm here to tell you, God needed a judgment. And there is a high priest. And if you go back, if you want to read this on your own, go back to Exodus chapter, I think it's Leviticus 16. You're going to read about the Day of Atonement and where the high priest would go into the most holy place. And it was a day of judgment, and the people had to afflict their souls. That did not mean that they hurt themselves physically, but they would be saying, Lord, please forgive me of my sin, and make sure that there was no sin on their record. And annually, God did that as a symbol of what he would finally do at the end of the world. And if there was sin found in anybody in the camp that they had not repented of, they would die. That was just a symbol to show that if we harbor sin in our lives, and that means we would refuse the gospel, God can't save us, right? Because he's made too many promises to too many people that iniquity won't rise the second time, and he's not going to make us robots. He's going to keep us in a position where we have freedom of choice. That's what we have, friends. So I love the Lord for that. The word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. Let's read verse 13. Neither is there creature, any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Jesus is your high priest. He's representing you like a defense lawyer is. So when the devil says, well, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did this, he said, yes, but they've asked forgiveness, and I plead my blood in their place. And the Father accepts the blood of Jesus as a penalty already paid for your sin, if you've confessed it. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, verse 15, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We can't say, well, Jesus doesn't understand, because he went through every temptation that we have to go through, brothers and sisters. And the final verse says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might find mercy. I'm sorry. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, I like the biblical gospel, not the one that we hear in these churches that says you could do anything and skirt into heaven. No, I like the gospel that says I can be forgiven of all my sin, and then I can be empowered to live a holy life, that God is going to make sure that heaven is safe by seeing whether or not I have accepted the gospel. That's reasonable. You see, heaven is reasonable, friends. God's way is reasonable. It's not crazy. What the world says is crazy. I read to you crazy. I read crazy yesterday, where I'm reading about male and female organs for our textbook. It's going to be a wonderful textbook. We have people on Facebook and even on the call that have registered for the school. Friends, you're going to get a almost 500-page textbook full of flowcharts, so you can learn in a fraction of the time these wonderful truths about your body. So I was doing a little bit of research, finalizing some things for the textbook, and I ran across something from the Cleveland Clinic website, and it was talking about female reproductive organs, and it says these are the organs of women or those assigned female at birth. Now, what kind of foolishness is that? It's because they don't understand the Creator, friend. God didn't assign you as a female at birth and then let you be a man. That is stupid. That's stupid. I'm not calling anybody stupid. I'm saying that is a stupid thought. And these are people that are PhDs, MDs. That's why I won't go get those degrees, brothers and sisters, because it teaches false education. All right, before we wrap this up, brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you a little bit about rest. Since we're talking about entering into rest, you should go to bed by 9:30 every night, friends. You really should. I talk to people who are trying to get well. I'm dealing with a person right now, stage 4 cancer, goes to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I try to tell them, but sometimes these people are stubborn. And the older we get, sometimes the more stubborn we get. And unfortunately, I'm telling them, yeah, but I get my 8 hours. You don't get the same benefit if you get 8 hours from 2 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning. You have wiped out your immune benefit for that night. If you don't get to bed by 9:30, my brothers and sisters, your body is on a circadian rhythm and it deals with the cycles of the sun. And so the bottom line is your immune system builds up at a certain time of the day or night if you're asleep. Okay? So it's not that you slept 8 hours. Your immune system builds at a certain time of the night if you're asleep. If you are not asleep at that time, you missed that immune building power. And this person has serious case of breast cancer. Serious case of breast cancer. Can't get them to go to bed. They won't believe. And there's nothing I could do. I already know this person's not going to make it. But guess what? They don't even want to call it cancer. They don't even want to call it cancer. That's how we can be sometimes, brothers and sisters. I call disease by what it is, because if it's not, I'm robbing God of his glory. I'm telling people God can't heal cancer if I won't call it cancer. Well, you know, I got that C word. Call it what it is. It's cancer. God is stronger than cancer. And when it's healed, you can say, I had cancer and God healed me. You can't say, I had the C thing and I don't have the C thing anymore. What's that? You just robbed God of glory. The reason is we do it because we're scared. The world has scared us into following their way. And they use cancer particularly to scare you. Cancer does not scare me, because you can be healed. Your immune system is much more powerful than cancer, brothers and sisters. Cancer just hides from the immune system because of all the toxins we put in the body. And we now know how to remove that disguise. We're going to be teaching that in the school. I'm going to be teaching you things that God has taught us as to how you can shrink a tumor in record time. But you got to think outside the box. You've got to think outside the box. God's ways are not popular. And I'm going to end with this. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. It's a health message here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 26. I'm going to tell you why God's not using chemotherapy to heal people. I'm not saying he hadn't healed somebody, a few of them, despite chemotherapy. But God does not use chemotherapy. I'm going to read it to you. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, that's people with advanced degrees, not many mighty, that's people with power, and we know money gives you power, not many noble, that means people with various positions of rank, are called. So God can't use many that have money, that have higher education by the world standards, and that have positions of that would demand respect. He can't use many of them. Why? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised. You hear that? Things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught, to bring to nothing, things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, you will not have Pfizer, Moderna, and any of the other Johnson & Johnson and any other pharmaceutical company stand up if they were to create a drug that actually healed you. You will not hear their CEO saying, we give all glory, giving all glory and honor to God. We thank heaven for the wisdom that he has given us to be able to produce this drug. We didn't do it on our own. We prayed about it, and God showed our scientists exactly what to do in every way and in every step. So we will not take the glory for this drug. We give all glory and honor to God, and we're going to give a lot of the profits to the cause of God. You're not going to hear them say that, brothers and sisters, because they're not giving glory to God. They take the glory to themselves. That's why God says, I can't use them. that no, I use these simple things that they think are despised, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We're going to learn despised things. We're going to learn how a simple lifestyle, simple natural remedies, simple ways of cleansing the body. We're going to learn that every disease is an effort of your body to get rid of toxins and to bring things back into balance. And we're going to approach every disease that way. And you're going to learn some things that are not taught in 12 years of medical school, brothers and sisters. I'm excited. Are you? We got about 2 minutes to the top of the hour, but actually about four. Let's go ahead and have prayer. And we'll just close out at this time. We wish you God's richest blessings. Reach out to us if you have any needs. We are your pastor and pastor's wife. If we can be of help, though we may be remote, our prayers still work, and anything we can do for you, God would be pleased. So please reach out. Let us know. And if you have questions about the school, please reach out to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you very much for this worship thought. We want to thank you for the kindness of heaven. We want to thank you for producing a plan of redemption that is beyond belief. We want to ask for your name to be glorified in our feeble lives. And we pray, Lord, that you bless us, that your Holy Spirit will fill us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God is good. He's merciful and kind. We wish you God's richest blessings. If my wife is available, she can help me with the salutation. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith, God, with open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk.